If you're in the United States, in Europe, definitely you want to stock up on food at least a couple of months because the cabal and Biden is planning on starving you out. That's it. That's their plan. Get food while you can, where it before it goes higher. It's going to go higher.
Also egal, ob in den USA oder in Europa, für die nächste Zeit wäre es gut, einige Reserven an Lebensmitteln zu haben, weil der Plan ist, uns auszuhungern, beziehungsweise einfach auch die Preise wahnsinnig in die Höhe zu treiben. Also es lohnt sich jetzt, einige Vorräte anzuschaffen.
Other countries.
Buy organic if you can.
Right.
And grow your own food.
Right. Grow your own food. Right. Exactly. Get some seeds for future use. Countries which are rural-based, like Mexico, maybe Brazil, I'm not sure, that are more rural and are more self-sufficient, they're going to be doing much better than we here in the so-called advanced West. We're not advanced in that sense because all of our food sources are tightly controlled, subject to very sophisticated distribution systems. And if you start what knocking out 50 food processing plants, they're not going to have enough food to process for the whole country. It won't happen.
Carolyn meinte noch, also wenn möglich, eben Bio Lebensmittel anzuschaffen oder noch besser sein eigenes Essen anzubauen, sich Samen zuzulegen und Länder, in denen es noch mehr Landwirtschaft gibt, die ländlicher sind, wie zum Beispiel Mexiko. Die werden da sicherlich besser durchkommen, aber die sogenannte westliche Welt, die fortgeschrittene Welt, ist komplett abhängig von sehr komplexen Distributionsketten. Und jetzt, wo 50 Fabriken die Lebensmittel herstellen, in Brand geraten sind, mit welchen Ursachen auch immer, wird auf jeden Fall nicht genug da sein, um überhaupt Lebensmittel herzustellen.
See, most kids here in the US that haven't grown up on a farm or been on a farm, a lot of them, due to the educational system, think that chicken comes automatically wrapped in
Right.
plastic or cellophane.
Right. And milk comes
And
from milk cartons. Yeah.
they're disconnected from where the food supply is. It's just that you assume that it's going to be in the grocery store or at McDonald's or whatever. Have taken that for granted
That's right.
in this country.
Also es gibt in den USA sehr, sehr viele Kinder, die inzwischen der festen Überzeugung sind, dass das Huhn in Plastik eingewickelt aus dem Supermarkt oder von McDonald's kommt und haben also keine Ahnung mehr, woher Lebensmittel eigentlich ursprünglich kommen und sind komplett abgetrennt worden von den eigentlichen Prozessen.
There's something about the cabal where they believe the evil cabal that they believe that they have to tell people ahead of time what they're going to do. And if you don't object at that point, it's okay for them. They won't get any karma if they do it. Food shortages are a great example of that. They've told us before they're going to cut off the food supply this year, and people should be prepared. Or they can do like the Canadian truckers, stand up against Biden. He's fake anyway. None of what he does is real. He has no legal authority over any Americans.
Also es gibt eine Eigenheit der Kabale, dass sie der Meinung sind, wenn sie uns vorab informieren, was sie planen und keiner dem widerspricht, dann können sie das durchführen, ohne dass sie damit sich schlechtes Karma einhandeln. Und ja, von daher ist es wichtig, dass wir aufstehen, so wie eben zum Beispiel die Trucker in Kanada und das nicht zulassen.
But the control goes also beyond not only the current food supply, but for some reason or another, the Union Pacific Railroad is cutting the delivery of fertilizer shipments right at the height of the spring planting.
You're kidding. Well, UP is, I know, is UP owned by Soros or Warren Buffett?
They're one of the major shareholders. I think it's through BlackRock or Vanguard.
Oh, they're bad news. Warren Buffett and Bill Gates. Bill Gates, who's bought all this farmland in the U.S., he's one of the major landholders now in the U.S. of agricultural land. He spent $10 trillion on the COVID to create it, a bioweapon, and Warren Buffett spent another $17 trillion. Or 27 trillion? I lose count. It's just so much money. They started this in 2010. They're setting us up. They're setting us up so farmers can't fertilize their crops now?
Well, they're shutting down the number of shipments. Wow. They're cutting the shipments, I've heard, by 30 to 50%. And the way that agriculture has been in the last 100 years is that the land is just so depleted. They need that fertilizer to grow the different crops.
Right. And they're setting us up again. And we don't expect any help from Biden or anybody else. We have to address it ourselves. Media is not going to help us.
But it also, they shut down. There's a company, it's called CF Industries. They're also shutting down the transfer of what they call the diesel exhaust fluid, which is an additive that they put into like tractors and semi trucks, construction equipment, anything that has a diesel engine.
So we won't have any trucks and no farm equipment to run it on the farms.
Well, no food, no need to have trucks deliver.
then they don't want to get rid of us all with the shots, so we don't have any people. So no need to have food because there won't be any people. They're all dead.
We should probably let Nicole catch up with us here. Sorry about that.
Also es wird eben nicht nur die Lieferungskette für Essen beeinflusst, sondern es wurden auch die Auslieferung von Düngemitteln stark heruntergefahren und da durch die Art der Landwirtschaft der letzten 100 Jahre die Böden komplett leer sind, also werden diese Düngemittel leider halt gebraucht, damit überhaupt etwas wachsen kann. Und zwischendurch ging es dann darum, dass eben Gates einer der größten Besitzer inzwischen ist in den USA von Land. Er hat viel investiert und er und Warren Buffett haben seit 2010 viel Geld investiert, um diese Covid-Geschichte ins Laufen zu bringen. Und CF Industries sorgt außerdem dafür, dass ein Additiv für Diesel auch nicht mehr, also nur noch in kleinen Mengen ausgeliefert wird, sodass dann eben auch die Lastwagen weniger fahren können. Und dann ging es eben darum, naja, wenn es kein Essen gibt, was man ausliefern kann, dann braucht man auch keine LKWs mehr. Insofern spielt das ja auch keine Rolle. Und da ja der Plan ist, die Bevölkerung zu reduzieren, ist es dann auch unwichtig, ob wir überhaupt was zu essen haben. Das war dann so noch das Geplänkel oder Wortspiel zwischen den beiden, ganz grob übersetzt. I try to give an idea of what was going on.
Well, it's corpocracy. I don't know if there's a translation, right. But it's all of the, there's the major ones that really control everything in the world are the big corporations and the investors like in Warren Buffett and Bill Gates. And there's two mutual fund companies, Vanguard and BlackRock, and they, between those, they control these, the majority of corporations on this planet.
Right.
Also das Wort Corporacy schwer zu übersetzen, aber es geht im Grunde darum, dass es, also Corporate, dass es sehr wenige große, komplexe Unternehmen gibt, die alles kontrollieren. Also Unternehmen wie Vanguard, BlackRock, dann Buffett, Gates, did I miss someone out?
No, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, yeah, Vanguard, BlackRock.
Vanguard, BlackRock, yeah, and BlackRock probably.
Mm-hmm.
Right. At the very top of that pyramid are the reptilians and the grays, who don't use money, but they do control.
Und ganz oben an der Spitze der Pyramide befinden sich dann die Reptilianer und die Grauen, die die Kontrolle innehaben.
That is one of the things that the true kind of controllers are ones that we never really see. Bill Gates and Warren Buffett are basically very rich figureheads, but there's a, as Ted was saying, that you could call reptilian cabal, that there's a few, very few, that are the ones that are, we say in English, pulling the strings.
Und im Grunde die wirklich die Fäden ziehen, die sieht man nicht, die kennen wir nicht. Leute wie Buffett oder Gates, das sind eigentlich nur Köpfe, die sichtbar sind, die aber, also Marionetten für die wirklichen Fadenzieher. Sorry, Fadenzieher.
If you can find it, Italian pasta is good, even though it may not say organic. In Italy, they don't use Roundup or pesticides, herbicides on the agricultural crop. So if you can find some, Barra is B-A-R-A is a good brand, and you don't pay extra for the organic, even though it doesn't say it, it is organic. If you get wine, red wine from Italy, again, the same thing, you're not going to find the pesticides. Usually Germany's pretty good too, France. You don't have all those chemicals in their wines and drinks that you find here. What's it like in Brazil, Nicole? Is the food pretty good there? Do they have a lot of GMO food? What's it like? Highly processed food, or is it pretty good, pretty organic?
Well, here I have small local food stores with fresh fruit and vegetables, but I am very sure that they use pesticides and fertilizers and all.
Right.
All the stuff.
Yeah.
You do find organic, but I'm in a small place, so it's not that much.
Yeah, sure. I understand. Yeah.
But at least I think a lot of it is local and some of it from small.
Right.
Probably from the garden of some people.
Right. Right. And if I'm wrong, then you'll just have food for a couple of months. Buy something that lasts for a long time, you know, canned goods, whatever, and just have it handy. Mm-hmm. If you need it, you need it. And if you don't, well, eat it later. So.
Also Ted meinte gerade nochmal, es ist ganz gut zum Beispiel italienische Pasta sich anzulegen oder ähnliche Sachen. Also wahrscheinlich mehr auch ein Tipp für die USA, weil da nicht so viel Pestizide drin sind. Sachen, die aus Italien oder aus Europa kommen. Und man kann sich in den Schrank legen, und wenn man es nicht braucht, dann isst man es halt dann in Ruhe irgendwann auf.
Mm-hmm. Carolyn, you want to add to that?
Oh, I think it is a good idea to have food. We live in the Pacific Northwest. There could be earthquakes. In Southern California, they have people right now that, it's been the worst drought in 1,200 years.
Manufactured drought.
Well, it is manufactured by a harp, but basically they're out of water. And another thing that is important to keep is a good supply of water and have portable water filtration.
Right.
And I think that's another thing that is, I know, you know, we do. And because without water, you know, water is life. No water, no life. You can live without food for a while, but no water.
Water,
three
that's
days. That's it.
That's it. Yeah. Right.
Caroline hat dazu ergänzt, dass es immer auch praktisch ist, je nachdem, in welcher Gegend man wohnt, Vorräte zu haben. Sie wohnt im pazifischen Nordwesten, wo es auch immer mal wieder Erdbeben geben kann, also natürliche Erdbeben. Und da ist es dann unter Umständen nützlich, versorgt zu sein. Im Süden Kaliforniens gibt es die schlimmste Dürre seit 1200 Jahren und es gibt kein Wasser mehr und Wasser ist nun mal die Lebensgrundlage, die wir haben. Also neben Wasservorräten ist es auch immer gut, tragbare Wasserfiltersysteme vorrätig zu haben, weil ohne Essen kommt man ja immerhin noch eine Weile gut klar, aber ohne Wasser wird es ganz schwierig.
Ja. I think one thing that's going to happen that is going to work for us if we start individually doing, like we did in World War II, victory gardens, that we should become more aware of our community,
right,
and start growing things and sharing food,
right,
in our area. It's thinking, you know, there was a slogan that says think global, act locally. And what you said earlier, Ted, about that the countries and the governments have just gotten so top heavy. It's really
right.
The corporations control the countries, which is what is right now. We think we have individual governments, but basically the corporations are calling the shots.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this is something that as far as action is to work on more of a local basis and doing things like growing food and helping our neighbors out, because it's the decentralization, I think, is the one thing that is going to help us grow and spiritually and help our consciousness.
Caroline sagte, dass es jetzt immer wichtiger wird, dezentral zu handeln, also zum Beispiel, dass man als Nachbarschaft, als kleine Gemeinschaft Sachen anpflanzt, Sachen anbaut, dass man untereinander Lebensmittel zum Beispiel teilt. Und also so diese Idee, global denken, aber lokal handeln. Und die Welt ist so stark von oben gesteuert momentan und vor allen Dingen von einigen wenigen Firmen, die auch die Regierungen kontrollieren, dass unser Weg daraus eine Dezentralisierung sein kann. Und das wird auch unserem Bewusstsein helfen zu wachsen, unserer Spiritualität helfen zu wachsen, damit wir eben aus dieser Situation herauswachsen können.
And I think too that we also, you know, we're a big pharma is not only trying to influence, create perpetual patients, perpetual
right.
clients for their product,
right.
but they're also injecting our food
nanobots, graphene.
Yeah, different chemicals. And so that's another thing that if you grow your own, or you know people that are growing things organically, that what you put into your body is as important as what your thoughts that you're putting into your mind. It's a holistic viewpoint. We are not just Western medicine tends to look at things in a very segmented, but we are body, mind, and spirit. And so we have to keep our spirit vibration high with our thoughts and our deeds. And we also have to put nourishing food that is beneficial to us and to our bodies.
The Big Pharma versucht sich immer neue Patienten zu kreieren. Sie sorgen aber eben auch dafür, dass viele Chemikalien in unserem Essen sind. Und es ist ja genauso wichtig wie die Gedanken, die wir denken, dass wir gutes Essen aufnehmen. Und je mehr wir eben selbst anpflanzen und auch organisch anpflanzen, desto mehr können wir das eben selbst kontrollieren, was wir in unser Körper reintun, weil wir nicht, wie in der Schulmedizin behauptet, segmentiert sind, sondern wir sind ja ein Körper, Geist, Seele. Es gehört alles zusammen, sodass eben genauso wie alle Gedanken uns beeinflussen, es genauso wichtig ist, unseren Körper gut zu versorgen mit guten Lebensmitteln.
I did an experiment last summer where I brought in, I took a magnet and I went to the meat section, a couple different stores. I went to one called, what's it called? Oh, Hagen Supermarket up on the west side of Olympia. And most of their meats tested, the beef and chicken, the magnets all stuck to them. They were full of metals, graphene, not listed on the packages, but it's there. So if you eat those beef products and chicken, you're going to get those metal fragments in your body, much like you do when you take a shot, one of those shots. Another store, Safeway, had a lot of graphene in their meat products too. A well-known brand. They don't test. It's false for them not to tell people. But a lesser known place called Grocery Outlet, one brand did have metals, but the rest of them, almost all of them were okay. So I think that they were probably local producers, not as national stuff. The national producers seem to be all corrupt with high levels of metal in the product. So.
Letztes Jahr hat Ted ein Experiment gemacht. Er ist mit einem oder mehreren Magneten bewaffnet in verschiedene Supermärkte gegangen, in die Fleischabteilung, und bei fast allen Fleisch- oder auch Hühnersorten haben die Magnete an dem Fleisch festgeklebt. Also das Fleisch war voll mit Graphen oder Metallen, Schwermetallen. Und er war dann in einem kleineren Supermarkt, der eher lokale Ware hatte. Und da gab es dann nur eine Fleischsorte, wo die Magnete dann mit Fleisch klebten.
Yeah, so.
It's interesting to think about this. The world's top 10 food companies, which include Nestle, PepsiCo, General Mills, Kellogg's, Associated British Foods, Mondelez, Mars, Danone, Unilever, Coca-Cola. They're largely owned by both BlackRock and Vanguard.
Okay.
The same people that are major investors and shareholders in Union Pacific, and the top shareholders of the world's largest fertilizer company.
Right.
Do Do we see the connection here?
We see the connection, all right. Yeah, right. They're all cutting off the food supply. Not only, all over the world, they're doing, that's their plan. But there's one country that's going to do fine, and that's Russia, because Putin has banned GMO foods. And I believe, I don't think the food shortage is going to happen in Russia. Let me look at the timelines. No, I don't see it happening in Russia. I don't know what you see. I don't see it there. They're not controlled in the same way that we're controlled here. No, yeah. So stock up on food. Get it.
So should I? I was waiting for an answer. Should I translate? Sorry, I thought Caroline was going to answer. So I'll translate the last bit. Also Caroline erwähnte, dass eben die 10 größten Nahrungsmittelhersteller. Ich zähle jetzt so ein paar schnell auf, also so Nestle, Unilever, Pepsi und auch Coca-Cola und so weiter, dass sie alle von Vanguard und BlackRock kontrolliert werden oder diese halt die Hauptshareholder sind und gleichzeitig eben auch von Union Pacific und von den größten Herstellern von Düngemitteln. Ja, und da kann sich jeder dann selbst Gedanken machen über die Zusammenhänge. Und dann ging es eben darum, dass Ted meinte, in Russland wird das wohl eher nicht so weit kommen, dass die Lebensmittel rationiert werden, wie sonst in der restlichen Welt geplant, und dass Putin die genetisch veränderten Lebensmittel verboten hat. Und er hat dann geschaut, von der Timeline her sieht er nicht, dass es dort zu den gleichen Knappheiten kommen wird.
And the answer is, as far as Russia is concerned, they're not going to be having they learned their lesson in the ex-Soviet Union, and they're not going to be having the starvation, but a lot of it is that in the countryside, they're going to have a lot of private, like I said, victory gardens, a lot of individuals having right. Small farms.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Genau, und die Antwort von Caroline, sie sieht, dass Russland die Lektion gelernt hat aus den Sowjetzeiten und dass es da viel mehr dezentrale, lokale, kleine Landwirtschaften gibt.
Yeah, after Stalin collectivized the farms in the 30s, 20s, 30s, I guess, a lot of people starved, and they remember that still.
And, yes.
Yeah, and they want to become independent. Here in America, people used to be more independent, I think, and they had their own gardens. Still people do, too, and that's not that they don't. It's just that for this generation, it's not as familiar as it should be. You know, I mean, it's easy to grow a garden, just get the seeds. But I think the next step for the cabal, logically, would be to restrict the seeds, to cut back on those. But I think that's harder for them. I don't know. That's more decentralized.
They did that.
They did?
They changed the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they did. Oh.
Yeah. It used to be that farmers, as I know, my dad grew up on a farm, and they also did this in India, that you could harvest some crop and take the seeds and grow another crop the next year. The problem is that these seeds have been modified such that they will only produce one plant. They're in essence sterile. So we've been eating a lot of the food we've been eating is sterile food.
Oh, wow. Okay. With no vitamins. No wonder they're kind of like, they don't give you anything good in them. Yeah.
It's even worse. They need a very specific fertilizer to grow. Mm-hmm. People who've been trying to grow food out of the seeds the next year, some have even died because they were poisoned from this food.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
So look at the food supply, because it is the food I've heard say just generally it's being weaponized. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the chemicals and who's in control of the major food, and even now they're starting to grow meat in laboratories. So
like Bill Gates, weird stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. GMO meat. No. Yeah.
It's normal in Japan since a long time.
What, to grow meat?
To grow meat, yes.
Really?
It's cheaper. You know, wir kommen jetzt nochmal zurück zu Russland in den 20er, 30ern, als eben die gesamte Landwirtschaft kollektiviert wurde, sind so viele Menschen verhungert und gestorben, dass die Menschen sich dort heute noch dran erinnern und es eben viel mehr Menschen gibt, die ihre eigenen Gärten anlegen und ihr eigenes Essen produzieren. Und in den USA ist das eher, also je nach Region wahrscheinlich eher seltener. Tedden meinte dann, dass es wichtig wäre, dass man sich eben einfach Samen zulegt. Und dann ging es aber darum, dass inzwischen ja die meisten Samen so genetisch verändert wurden, dass sie eben nur ein Jahr lang tragen und man aus den Pflanzen, die aus diesen Samen wachsen, keine Samen entnehmen kann, die dann quasi die nächste Pflanze hervorbringen, sondern dass man neue Samen kaufen muss. Und also dass diese Samen steril sind und zum Teil dann eben auch abhängig von ganz bestimmten Düngemitteln. Also im Grunde ist das Essen von den wenigen Hauptproduzenten auf der Welt, es wird inzwischen gegen uns als Waffe verwendet, bis hin dazu, dass man ja inzwischen auch Fleisch wachsen lässt. Also